the war tonight. You might feel weak tonight. You might feel frail tonight. You might feel like, you know, sometimes we're like Peter and we're sinking a bit, you know? You're not. It's not the size of your faith. It is a source of your faith. This psalm is for you. Blessed be the Lord my rock. He trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. By the way, hear the personal. My rock. He trains my hands for war, my finger for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like the passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains with, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters. From the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God, on a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculpted in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy. Say blessed. Happy, blessed are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. It's a victory psalm. It's a psalm for you. You might not feel like it's a psalm for you tonight. This is a psalm for you. It is a victory psalm. Do you think David had enemies? David's whole life was enemies. David was a boy shepherd, and he had little animal enemies. He had little bear enemies, little lion enemies. He's got one thing he's supposed to do. He's supposed to protect those sheep. So he's got enemies. He gets a little bit older. He goes to, you know, brings the supplies to big brothers. He arrives at the camp. He hears a loud noise. What's going on here? The champion over there, his name's Goliath. He's demanding that somebody come and fight him, but you got to see this man. This is not an ordinary man. This is a giant man. David asks, who is this who defies our God? David's whole life was being chased around by Saul, and then being chased around by Philistines, and then being chased around by his, you know, own family members. It just went on and on and on. David's life saga and drama, if there was a TV movie of David's life, it's a drama. That's what it is. Family drama, wife drama, army drama, 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 drama. His whole life is a drama. It's a drama. And some of it, quite frankly, is of his own doing, but it's a drama. Now, the context of this particular song, psalm, is it is a royal psalm. It is a psalm of David, of course. He petitions the Lord for victory over his enemies. And David here is reminding us, brethren, of some very fundamental things that we need to be reminded of, like, constantly, fundamental things. And we need to be reminded because we're forgetful, aren't we? We're forgetful. I'm forgetful. I bet you're forgetful. Especially forgetful in the midst of life's trials. Life's trials. In life's trials, we need to be reminded that the Lord is with us. He's with us. That's fundamental. But in life's trials, you need to be reminded of our Lord's words to his disciples and to us. I am with you always, even till the end of the age. He's with us. That's wonderful, and that's staggering. You know what's more staggering? He's for us. He's for us. We don't by nature deserve the God of the universe to be for us. And yet, because of his sovereign grace, because of our Lord's purchasing us, he is for us. He's not against us. He's not against us. We are not his enemies. God has enemies. You're not one of them. If you're in Christ, you're not one of them. You don't want to be an enemy of God. That does not go well. It certainly does not end well. I promise you that. It does not end well. But God has enemies. David's not one of them. But David's enemies are God's enemies. And that is something for the enemies to be afraid of and for David to rejoice in, because God is with him and God is for him. That's staggering times staggering. It gets even more staggering. The Lord fights for us. The Lord fights for us. Do you ever feel weak? Do you ever feel boxed in? Do you ever feel like, I don't know where to turn? I don't know where to go? I don't know who cares? I don't know who listens? Where do I go? Where do I turn? You turn to God. Because he listens. And he cares. In the moment of your trials, you're tempted to think, he doesn't care. He does care. He did not, this is Paul's argument in Romans 8, he did not spare his own son. Never allow the enemy one square inch of your mind to think God doesn't care. When God sent his only begotten son to purchase you. And he fights for you. He stands with you. He's with you. And so this psalm is a song of praise, exalting the Lord as our divine warrior who fights for us. Do you need somebody to fight for you? The answer to that is a resounding yes. Indeed, you do. You do. Because this is, as Luther said, a world with devils filled who threatens to undo us. Absolutely, you need one to stand with you and to fight for you. And one who is always for you and not against you. Now see, in these opening verses, we're going to make it through the first eight verses, Lord willing, tonight. Very simply, I wanted to point out all these titles that David uses for the Lord. And I want you, I hope we, will gain a deeper gospel confidence as we think about Blessed be the Lord, my personal, my rock, a gospel confidence, that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He is my rock. He's the one I stand on. I'm not moved. I'm not easily shaken or sifted. He is like our personal trainer, so to speak. He trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Listen, my loving kindness. David, this is attributing to God as covenant keeper. Covenant love. You say electing love, eternal love, amazing love, amazing grace, my loving kindness, and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. That's a gospel confidence. And tonight your faith might feel weak. In the trials of life, you might have trouble and struggles feeling the realities of these things. And yet, be reminded, brethren, it's not the size of faith. It is the source of your faith. Your faith comes as a gift from God. He is your rock. He is your trainer. He is your loving kindness, your fortress, your high tower, your deliverer. He is your shield. He is your refuge. And he is the subduer in your life. Praise be to God. Now, the psalm, by the way, is very similar to Psalm 18. I will not read that in its entirety, but I would like to read a portion of Psalm 18 to hear the same language. The context of Psalm 18 is certainly David on the run from King Saul. We don't know for sure the context of 144. We do know for sure the context of Psalm 18. It's 1 Samuel 22. Here's Psalm 18, 1 through 3 to begin with. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Psalm 18, beginning in verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. He also lifts me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Verse 50, great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. I read that because this is a bit of a theme. It's a bit of a theme in David's life. And just, again, trying to reinforce this idea that David's life was not your best life now. It was not an easy ride. It was not, you know, a trip through Disneyland. His life was a life of struggle. And yet, in the struggle, he learned things about God that he would not know apart from the struggle. He knew what it was to attribute to God that you are my rock, you are my deliverance, you are my fortress, you are my shield because of his enemies. So this psalm and these psalms were a great comfort to David's life. It's important to remember, brethren, that warfare was closely tied to worship. Victory in battle was always a matter of giving worship to God before a conflict, petitioning and praising God before and after the Lord delivered his people. It was the victory and war and worship were all intermingled for ancient Israel. It's also good to remember that we need reminders. You see, these titles that we've looked at. These give us reminders. We need it over and over again in different words. You know, there's not a great difference between, you know, David speaking of God as his, you know, refuge and high tower. These are all similar words. We need to see them over and over again. Calvin wrote about this repetition in his commentary on the Psalms. He said, quote, it is not superfluous, but designed to strengthen and confirm. For men's minds are easily shaken. Isn't that true? Easily shaken, especially when some storms of trial beats upon them. If God should promise us his security in one word, it would not be enough. In fact, in spite of all props and aids he gives us, we constantly need to hear, because we are ready to fall. And such a forgetfulness of his loving kindness stills upon us that we come near to losing hearts altogether. That's true. I think if we know our own hearts and souls, that's often true of us. And so, in many ways, in many words, in many psalms, we see over and over again, God is our deliverer. He's with us. He's for us. He fights for us. He is our shelter. He is our strength. Now, we've talked about how David is fighting, you know, this is not a spiritual battle. This is a physical battle with physical enemies. But again, brethren, praise be to Christ. He has come to destroy the works of the devil and to bind up the strong man. And praise be to God that Satan is bound in that he can no longer deceive the nations. And we need to be reminded of that because we do face a real battle. Satan has an army. And this army is raging against us. And in this life, we will face Satan's schemes. And he is quite the schemester, isn't he? And so we need to be reminded that the gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. He is our fortress. He is our shield. Now, in verses 3 and 4, we noted David's great humility, comparing man to a shadow and to a hand puff. Now, briefly, let's see in verses 5 through 8, David's impassioned prayer. Brother, do you think of prayer as war? I think too often we don't, right? I think sometimes prayer for us can become very much a habit, and I'll just speak for myself. I could fall into, you know, the danger of, you know, rote prayers and going through the motions, etc., etc. Brethren, be reminded. See David's impassioned plea here. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hands from above. Rescue me. Deliver me out of great waters. You see David in many ways here asking the Lord to move. Brother, be reminded that the prayer is God's ordained means to show him our total dependence upon him. Show him that we understand we are weak and we are helpless on our own. That we are like sheep, and we need a good shepherd to come and strike the heads of all wolves and fight our enemies for us. The prayer is, prayers. Have you ever seen these old war movies and you got the soldier with the backpack on with the, I guess, the walkie-talkie, and you always feel sorry for that guy because he looks like a target, right? He's got the big backpack on, and, you know, it's kind of hard to fight very efficiently when you've got a, you know, massive backpack on. But the reality of our prayer life is that it is like a walkie-talkie. I think that's a John Piper analogy that I'm borrowing. That's true. Because prayer is, again, I think this is John Piper, prayer is a necessity of wartime living. Life is war. Life is a battle. And so, we must take upon ourselves believing real prayer. Stretch out, verse 7, stretch out your hands from above. Rescue me, deliver me out of the great waters from the hands of foreigners whose mouths speak lying words and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. This is believing prayer and powerful prayer. Of course, there is figurative language here of God flashing forth and touching the mountains. But it is figurative language of real praise, real belief, real faith. It does picture our Lord as a heavenly warrior who fights for us. He fights for us. He sees our enemies. He knows exactly where they are. To go back to our, you know, sad guy with a massive walkie-talkie backpack who's an easy target, he gives the coordinates. He says, the enemy is here. This is what's happening. And so, brethren, prayer for us does not make us an easy target. Prayer for us is our walkie-talkie. It is our acknowledgement that this is war. And we need our heavenly warrior to come and fight for us. So I want to challenge us when we pray, when you're alone and you're praying, do not be afraid to pray like David. Now, this is a bold prayer. Come down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountain, and they shall smoke. Shoot out your enemy, shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me, deliver me. These are bold prayers. And so one of the ways I tried to encourage my soul and feed my soul today was I need to grow in the area of bold prayers. And when my soul says my faith is too small for that, I say, soul, need to be quiet. It's not the size of your faith. It is the source of your faith. And you can know this. You can know this, soul. The Lord is with me. The Lord is for me. And the Lord fights for me. The Lord fights for me. And He ordains that I come to Him in bold prayer. So, brethren, let us be a people of bold, believing prayer. So, Lord, we pray for help with that. Help us, Lord. Give us strength, Lord. Give us a sense like David had in verses 3 through 4 of our smallness and our weakness. What is man? We are like a shadow. Help us, Lord, to be reminded that we are not strong. We are weak and we are needy. And we do face a very real enemy in this world. So help us, Lord, to lean on Christ, our rock and our salvation. To remind ourselves that our only hope is Christ alone. And help us, Lord, as the people that you're with and for and fight for. Help us, Lord, not to be ashamed to come to you in bold, believing prayer and ask for your grace and deliverance. We think of David as he prays for not just himself, but even for his own nation. He prays for the nation's children, that their sons may be plants grown up in their youth. He prays for the daughters, that they may be pillars sculpted in palace style. He prays for their necessity with animals and livestock for blessings. He prays that there may be no breaking up or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Lord, I know tonight as we get into our groups and we'll pray for our nation, help us, Lord, remember David's prayer for blessings upon his nation as we would pray for ours. There'd be no outcry in our streets. Bless us, we pray, as we gather in groups and we pray. Help us, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.